Well, you know, I just think about this. It's Bill Leff, it's Wendy Snyder, and we just went to Universal Studios and saw the shark from Jaws, mm-hmm. and then it's Shark Week. I am kind of obsessed with sharks,
Are
I understand.
You?
Yeah.
It's if only we had an expert nearby to tell us more.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that. Stephen Kessel is with us, director of marine research for the Shedd Aquarium here in Chicago. Steve, how are you doing today?
I'm doing really well, thank you.
Happy Shark Week, Steve.
Happy Shark Week to you too.
Are you watching any? Because I'm really enjoying it.
I watch a little bit of Shark Week.
You live it, though, don't you?
I do, so I get a little bit frustrated when I watch them. It depends on what the messaging of the particular show is. They kind of swing between sensationalism and science, and sometimes they find a happy medium, but it can be quite frustrating sometimes if the messaging's not on point.
Obviously, the Shedd Aquarium does a good job at preserving species and keeping things in their natural habitat. Sharks scare me, but fascinate me, and isn't that kind of the fascination with everyone? Like, they're scary, but they're so cool, man. I can't tell you how cool a shark is.
Yeah, I think a lot of that came from people seeing the movie Jaws. It really turned several generations of people into people who were very afraid of sharks. But with fear comes a morbid fascination, I think. And for me, when I saw Jaws, it was just pure fascination. If you speak to most shark biologists, that's what they'll tell you as well. Jaws was a big inspiration for them.
Do great whites really attack people?
They do sometimes, yeah. They have encounters with people, and there is incidences where great whites will bite people. It's not a common occurrence at all.
It seems like it doesn't happen often, but when it does happen, it seems like it comes in groups for some weird reason. Is it just that the media pays more attention to it once there's one or two?
I think that's one of the factors. Once a shark attack's in the news, they latch onto that and they look for any even quite minor incidences that might occur a bit more frequently than a big, potentially fatal attack. But globally, there's only an average of six fatal attacks globally from sharks per
year. That's it?
That's it, which is really, if you think about how many people are in the water every day, that's nothing.
Right.
I know to remain still and don't thrash around. Is that still good advice if you encounter a shark?
Pretty much any time anyone's in the ocean, there's sharks about. They're encountering sharks, whether they know it or not.
Oh, my God.
And if you think about I said there's six fatalities. There's only an average of around 83 bites at all, unprovoked bites per year. And if you think how many people are in the water every single day, thousands and thousands of people around the world, and there's every time they're in the ocean, there's sharks either right there or nearby.
Oh,
so
that's
just alarming. Do what you're doing in the water. The chances of a shark coming and biting you is so low, it's not something we really have to be worried about.
Remember, Steve, there was advice back after Jaws where they said if a shark does look like it's going to attack you, what you want to do is just punch it square in the middle of the nose. But I don't believe that would help you.
It's that specific act of punching a shark in the nose is maybe not the best advice.
No.
Won't it anger them?
Potentially, we can only pretend to understand what the shark is thinking. But what you want to do if a shark is showing aggression towards you, which again, the chance of that is next to zero for this happening to you in your lifetime. But if that ever does happen, you do want to be quite confident with that animal. If you can summon the courage to swim towards it, that's going to tell
swim toward the shark.
Yeah, that's going to tell the shark you're not something that's afraid of it. You're not something that it's going to want to eat. And if you ever get in that situation where it's really bad, I'd actually focus attention around the eyes and the gills because that's a lot more sensitive.
Punch it in the eye.
But the
reality of actually doing that.
You're not going to do it.
But again, let's stress that this is not advice people are going to have to act on.
Right.
The chances are so
far between that this could happen. Is it true that a shark can't? Because we always say, well, sharks would only be in salt water, but that's not always the case, right? You can get a shark in fresh water, can't you?
You can. There's several species of sharks that can move into fresh water and some that can actually live there for their entire life cycle. It's not many. The bull shark is the main one that's quite famous for being able to go into fresh water. There's actually a population of bull sharks in Lake Nicaragua that actually live there their whole life cycle.
But how big do they get, the bull sharks?
Bull sharks can get pretty big. The largest recorded one's about 4 meters, so somewhere in the region of 12 feet.
But oh my God.
When we talk about freshwater bodies here in Chicago, we're thinking about the Great Lakes. That's not possible. It's not possible that there's Great
Lakes.
But
then, wasn't there a story last year, some shark was in waters that they said, well, you couldn't get a shark in these waters, and it still showed up anyway somewhere in the world?
I think you maybe think that Discovery Channel around Shark Week did a promo where they pretended a bull shark was in Lake Ontario.
Oh,
they pretended?
Yes, they put a fake one and put a YouTube video out.
Oh, my God.
It was pretty bad because a lot of people canceled holidays and resorts actually had problems with that. But they did catch a bull shark in Missouri up the Mississippi. So a bull shark actually made it all the way up to Missouri in the Mississippi.
At a Cardinals game.
maybe that's the audience.
Right. Steve awesome. Kessel is with us, Director of Marine Research for the Shedd Aquarium. We're going to be talking about the 30th anniversary of Shark Week and what's going on at the Shedd. You can always go to sheddaquarium.org. Bill, I don't remember if you were here the day Steve Grzanich, who does the Morning Bell at 5 a.m. and on the Steve Cochran Show, saw something swimming in the Chicago River. Hmm. And he swore, or the opening bell, I'm sorry, at 5 in the morning, he swore to me that they were otters. And we were looking from up here, 18 floors down to the Chicago River, and the way that they were moving, it looked like a family of otters. And I'm like, there's no way they could live in the Chicago River.
I don't think so.
It turned out that they were fish. I don't know if those are Asian carp, but how big must that thing have been to look like the size of an otter from 18 floors up?
Pretty big. I mean, there's some pretty big fish in the Great Lakes. If you think sturgeon are in there, Lake Sturgeon, yeah. They can get pretty enormous. It could well have been a big species of fish.
Maybe.
It was huge.
Yeah.
I mean, really, from being up here, it looked like an otter.
Huh.
I thought that was crazy. We're going to talk about what's going on at the Shedd Aquarium. I think we have some shark trivia we're going to get into.
Excellent.
It'll test your knowledge, see how good you guys
are. This will be great.
See how much you've been paying attention with Shark Week.
All right. Oh,
I haven't been paying that. I just ooh and ah. It's like watching fireworks underwater. Those things are so cool. Steve Kessel, Director of Marine Research for the Shedd Aquarium. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder at 720 WGN.
Yeah, kids in the car? Okay, cover their ears. No, I'm not going to say anything dirty, but it is the last full week of July. School's coming. Dr. Kathy Tynes gets us ready for the fall. Ugh, I had to say it. The fall. School records, school physicals, everything you need to know about your kids' health for school.
Remember the days of the old school, y'all.
Coming up before the Sox game at 7 on the Patty Vasquez Show with Andre Darles on 720 WGN.
To me, what we really have in common is our love for our communities and how we want to make those communities a better place for the long term. Hi, I'm Peter Steele. I'm the Executive Director for American Cancer Society, and we are a proud partner with Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Illinois. Just to put it in perspective, while we've reduced cancer deaths by 25% since 1950, amazing progress. There's still 60,000 people just in our state of Illinois alone that are going to find out for the first time they've got cancer this year. When Blue Cross Blue Shield says, through it all, they're in this fight together. They're in the trenches with us. It's that perseverance, that relentless pursuit of attacking cancer from every angle is absolutely amazing. And that's exactly what this partnership is about. This is about families. It's about actions. The employees, the leadership, they don't talk it. They show up and they do something about it. They are a role model for all.
Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Illinois, a division of Healthcare Service Corporation, a mutual legal reserve company.
With the recent rainy weather, PermaSeal is working hard to help homeowners across Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana. Boy, my mouth has just finished working for the day.
Did the otters take your script? What
yes.
happened?
They do need your help, though. PermaSeal needs your help. They're hiring in all departments, especially sales, customer service, and installation. They're looking for people with a great work ethic, who have ambition, positive attitude, want to learn new skills, and have a desire to make the world a better, drier place. If this sounds like you, then go to permaseal.net/careers and you can apply today. No experience is needed. PermaSeal will teach you how to become an expert in waterproofing and foundation repair. Their experienced team offers great training, year-round work, tremendous growth opportunities, and a great fun work environment. To apply, go to permaseal.net/careers. If you're looking for a career change or a dry basement, you now know who to call. It's PermaSeal at 800-421-SEAL. That's 800-421-7325, or go to permaseal.net.
Stephen Kessel is here, the Director of Marine Research for the Shedd Aquarium. It is Shark Week. Has Shark Week become too commercial, Steve? You be honest with us.
I think Shark Week is 30 years of Shark Week now, and it's fluctuated a lot between, again, being a bit fear-mongering and being quite scientific and having good conservation measures. But at Shedd Aquarium, Shark Week's always great for us because it really piques people's interest in sharks, and it allows us to educate people and bring them on as advocates for sharks and actually turn their opinions into something quite positive and talk about the plight of sharks on the global scale.
Yeah.
And the new campaign that was kicked off, the conservation campaign, Keep Sharks Swimming, that's what's going on right now?
Yes. So we've been doing, we've established a research program for sharks at Shedd that's a dedicated direct research program, but we're taking it one step further with Keep Sharks Swimming, which where we're moving into policy and advocacy. And within that campaign, if you sign onto the website, go to the Keep Sharks Swimming section, you can actually watch 360-degree videos, virtual reality videos, where you can actually swim along sharks in their natural environment. Mm. But then you can actually, even people here in Chicago can take action to help protect sharks. There's a petition in there, and you can sign onto a letter of support. Our research is based in the Bahamas, and the Bahamas has very progressive shark conservation and management measures in place that are really supporting very rich and plentiful populations. We want people to sign a letter of support that's going to help sustain those policy measures long into the future.
There are sometimes called killing machines, the sharks. Is that what they are, essentially? Are they killing machines?
They're a very effective predators. They, you know, typically predate rather than scavenge, so yeah. They do, but what they are predating is fish, primarily, depending on the species. There's lots of different species of sharks, but they're very effective predators, and they have a very, very controlling influence over the ocean ecosystems, which, you know, again, thinking about humans, that's very important, because if you have healthy ecosystems, ocean ecosystems, you've got good fisheries, and that's important for global food security. So if you remove the sharks out of those ecosystems, it can really destabilize the whole ecosystem below them,
yeah,
and actually influence our fisheries and the health of our oceans.
Are they becoming extinct? Are there certain types of sharks that are becoming extinct or in danger of that?
Yeah, a recent study in 2014 actually found that 25% of all Chondrichthyan fish species, and Chondrichthyan fish is sharks, skates, and rays, are actually at global threat of extinction.
Really? Mm,
yeah, so it's not every shark. Some shark populations are doing well. There's lots of different shark species and populations, but a big proportion of shark populations are at threat of extinction, and this is largely due to overfishing. It's estimated that we kill around 100 million sharks in commercial fisheries every year.
Horrible.
So if you think off about numbers. Six you know, human-related fatalities, yeah, per year for sharks, we're, yeah, killing 100 million sharks.
You better give up that shark tooth necklace.
I'm done.
I can't talk today.
Shark tooth necklace.
The shark tooth necklace. Why do people kill them? Just to mount them on the wall or for those stupid necklaces?
No, the necklace is actually not potentially bad, because sharks actually, you know, shed reproduce their teeth, so it's possible it was just found.
Yeah.
The reason they're targeted is primarily for the Asian shark fin soup market. And it's a very big demand, very high
shark
demand
fin
for shark
soup.
Fins. Shark fins are very valuable, so compared to other fish for fishermen, there's a big incentive for them to catch sharks, because they're going to get a lot of money for those shark fins for the Asian shark fin soup market.
We've gotten all through the interview without any mention of Sharknado at all. Steve, to me, those movies are kind of fakey. What do you think?
They are interesting. Again, they're a little bit cult movies where,
yes,
people,
I like,
thankfully,
them,
understand that this is a ludicrous situation,
yes,
but they can be quite entertaining nonetheless.
Okay.
All right. I have learned some things during Shark Week on TV. If you want to learn more, you can always go to the Shedd Aquarium, sheddaquarium.org. A lot of events going on for Shark Week. Jazzin' at the Shedd on Wednesday evenings throughout the summer. This isn't the last one tonight, is it?
No, this is not the last one, but this is a special shark-themed Jazzin' for Shark Week. I'll be giving a presentation about shark biology, ecology, and our research programs at Shedd. And then there's other things you can do. You can try our virtual reality headsets, look at some of those videos, so you can get that experience of swimming with sharks in the natural
That's
environment.
That's excellent. That's right, great.
Some shark trivia?
Do shark trivia. That,
okay,
sounds good.
Well, let's start off a little easy. I've been pushing that there's a lot of shark species. You know, sharks have been on this planet around 450 million years, mm-hmm, and over that time they've evolved into lots of different species of shapes and sizes. Just a rough guess, how many species of sharks do you guys think there are on the planet?
Wendy, go ahead.
200.
I'm going to say 64.
It's actually over 400 species of shark currently described on this planet. And every year we find about two or three new ones, normally in the deep ocean. So,
what's the smallest one? Are there little tiny sharks?
Yeah, the smallest shark is actually the dwarf lantern shark. And that thing at full size is about 8 inches long.
That's it.
And then compare that to the larger shark species, the whale shark, which is actually the biggest fish in the ocean. That thing can grow in excess of 40 feet long.
40 feet?
I can't even imagine that.
That's too big.
Just to point out that is a filter feeder, so that poses zero risk to
you. So that's bigger than a whale?
Bigger than some species of whale. The biggest organism is always going to be the blue
that's
whale.
That's the biggest.
Yeah.
Right, right.
But the biggest fish, because obviously whales being mammals, the biggest fish is the whale shark, and 40 feet is a pretty enormous animal.
That's huge.
So there are some sharks that are vegetarians?
No.
Or do they all eat carnivores?
They're all carnivorous. There's a recent paper came out suggesting one species he's maybe omnivorous, but I personally think it's just incidental.
Right.
Them grabbing seagrass while they're feeding in the seagrass.
Do some have peanut allergies?
Not to my knowledge. I don't know. You know, there's probably a lot of peanuts being consumed by sharks.
I bet.
And peanut shells as people on boats are throwing peanut shells in the water.
Right.
Yeah, I just don't get in. I cannot believe how much litter is in the ocean, and that is really affecting things. If you don't do anything, don't litter and stop using straws. Aren't straws, plastic straws, really bad for the ocean?
Yeah, we have the Shed the Straw campaign at Shedd Aquarium, and every year America alone disposes of 500 million straws.
Hmm.
And we calculated if you put those end to end based on the average straw length, that wraps around the earth 1.5 times.
Wow.
Why don't people go back to the paper straws? I know they didn't last very long, but aren't they more biodegradable?
Absolutely are. There's other biodegradable options. Also, reusable straws are becoming very popular now.
Oh, all right. That's good news. Give us more trivia. What else do you have?
Okay, here's one. How many senses do you think sharks have? We have 5 senses. Sharks probably have more. How many do you think they have?
More? What? They probably have radar, too.
Right. Sharkdar, they call it.
So I'm going 6.
8.
8. Well, it's right in the middle. It's actually 7 senses.
What do they have additional to us?
So they have all our 5 senses, but then additional to that, they have the lateral line, which most fish have. That's a series of pressure-sensing pores that run along their body. Most fish use that for schooling. When you see them schooling very tightly, they can maintain their distance based on this pressure-sensing system. But sharks can actually use that for predation. They can feel things moving beside them and turn on them and strike them.
That's pretty cool.
The most wait for this one. The most impressive sense of all is electromagnetic reception. So they can actually detect.
They can pick up WGN radio.
Absolutely. They can detect electromagnetic fields using a sensory system called the Empali of Lorenzini. So they have these pressure sensing, electric receptive pores on their snout, and they have tubes that run through their head, and they're filled with a very potassium-rich jelly that's the same electrical conductivity as seawater. And as electrical fields pass through these tubes, it displaces tiny little hairs on the sides of the tubes, and they can actually tell the intensity and the direction of electric fields.
Do other sea creatures have that, or just sharks?
There's a few other aquatic animals that have this, but sharks is the most evolved and the most famous.
Oh, wow.
And we think they use this for navigation, but also again predation. When animals bury themselves in the sand, fish, even the beating of their heart is producing electrical pulses, even tiny,
so
and they can actually find that and dig them out.
Yeah, oh, wow. Them.
That is kind of like radar. That's pretty cool.
That's excellent. Wow.
So they say that, you know, dolphins are very highly intelligent creatures. Are sharks smart?
Sharks actually have the biggest brains of all fish species. The biggest brain of any fish species is actually in the manta ray. They have a very, very large brain, very comparable to birds, actually. So for the aquatic environment, that's really, really amazing. I wouldn't say they're smart in the same way a dolphin is smart. They have very evolved and social thinking. Sharks' brains are actually largely geared to their sensory systems and these additional senses, their sense of smell, their sense of sight for some of them, and even hearing. And the lobes in their brains are very developed around their sensory systems. They're big brains. You can condition sharks very quickly, even quicker than you can, say, a cat. They pick up on things very quickly, but they don't have that high level of thinking. They're more intelligent from a survival and being perfect predator kind of way.
So by condition, you mean teach them things?
You can, like the sharks at Shedd Aquarium, if you go on a shark feeding tour, you'll see that they feed the sharks at different places in the tank at different times, and they use cues, visual cues, for those sharks to say, hey, for different species, and they say, hey, it's your turn to feed now, and these sharks will come up to that area, and they'll feed them so that they're not all eating each other's food, and they can tell how much food each shark has eaten.
What's their favorite food?
Fish, generally. Sharks eat fish. There are some species that are, you know, specialized into crustaceans, crabs and lobsters and things like that. Others that eat, you know, marine mammals, like great white sharks, eat a lot of seals. I'm sure you've seen those Shark Week shows. But generally, fish is the main diet item for
They're
sharks.
In a good place. They live in a good place for fish.
That's the perfect place, Wendy.
I'm fascinated by this. And if you want to watch Shark Week, do it at home. But if you want to experience Shark Week, you can go to the Shedd Aquarium. Stephen Kessel, Director of Marine Research for the Shedd Aquarium. Sheddaquarium.org, and on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. So nice to meet you, and welcome to Chicago.
Thank you so much for having us here. It's always a pleasure. I love talking about sharks, and whenever people give me an opportunity to do that, I'm happy to do it.
Perfect. Thanks, Steve. Appreciate it.